meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. Actually, next Friday is Good Friday, but today is Friday and it is good as well. And so we pray that you are having a great, great weekend, that you have already made plans to be in the house of God this weekend, and you are preparing yourself to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Easter comes up on April the 4th, and so that's just a little over a week away. And we celebrate the resurrection. The resurrection changed everything. And we want to thank you for making fellowshipping with the saints a top priority for you. A number of things are getting closer and closer to normal with people having the vaccine and the number of new cases of coronavirus going down and all of that sort of stuff. We're getting closer and closer to normalcy, and I pray that fellowshipping with the saints will become a very high priority in your new normal. So today we want to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. Sometimes I see Facebook posts and they're talking about how difficult it is to get a hold of people in the construction industry, and that is because there is so much construction going on. I was talking to a person. They've got a project that is going on, not any of the fields that we deal with, and the person said that they have limited them, that they have limited their company to doing X number of jobs a year. They said, if we wanted to, they could do 2.5 times the number of jobs that they do. That is how much demand there is out there right now for home renovations and commercial projects. There are so many people moving to Florida. I tell you all that because everything you build is going to need a foundation, and that involves concrete. And you need to call the folks at Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 321-536-5804, and see if you can work out a timeline. How far out do you need this done? I was driving down 528 the other day where they are working on that rail line, and you know what they were using? Truckloads and truckloads of concrete. And so you need to deal with the people who don't think they know what they're doing. You need to deal with the people who know what they're doing. They know how far out to schedule. They know the strength to schedule. They know what time of day to schedule. The folks at Jits Concrete have decades and decades of the right type of experience and expertise. And I highly encourage you to give them a call. 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. So I'm going to be preaching a message this Sunday called Order in the Court, and would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We're you know, every time there's a transition, you can either look at that and say, well, we are going to be falling back, or we are going to advance. And we like to have the perspective that the kingdom of God is never in retreat. It is always in advance mode. And so I had to move my daughter's belongings here not too long ago, and the dashboard told me what gear of how many gears the moving truck that I was driving was in. And you know, I don't know that there is a limited number of gears for the kingdom of God. I know this. I don't know of any church that has seen thousands of people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ the way it's talked about in the book of Acts. That means that there are more, there is a higher efficiency level that you and I can operate with if we will just allow God to continue to change us, to make us as effective as he wants us to be. Come be with us Sunday morning, 10:30, as we are discussing order in the court. Today we're going to go back to Proverbs chapter 8. Yesterday we read the entire chapter of Proverbs and into Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Our verse that we are fixated on is verse number 17, where wisdom says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." And, you know, if you just saw that in your concordance, you would think that that's talking about God. But in actuality, it is talking about the divine wisdom that God operates with, and that you and I are to seek it, and we are supposed to seek it diligently. So I'm kind of going through Proverbs chapter 8. It is, you know, where 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, Proverbs chapter 8 would be, you know, could be considered the wisdom chapter. So some of the things that we have talked about already, and I kind of went back and reworked it a little bit so that you might be able to remember this a little bit. Let me just read through, where do we want to read to? Verse number 11. "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things. From my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." So let me just start off by saying today that the opposite of wisdom is foolish. It's foolishness. So the opposite of the wise is not just a person who is lacking wisdom or unwise, but they are foolish. Well, you say, well, why does the Bible say don't call anyone a fool? Well, I'm not supposed to define the term. The Word of God defines the term. You see, the Word of God says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. So it isn't that there is nobody that is living a foolish lifestyle. You can see that in the book of Proverbs that there are plenty of times where the word fool or folly is used. It is a reality, but it is not an arbitrarily defined term. It is something that the Bible gets to define. Okay, so let's go back like I said, I worked this before I came in today. We've already gone through verses 1-6 a little bit, but I kind of did like 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, love is patient, love is kind. So I've kind of done that to put together some points here that define what wisdom is as laid out here in Proverbs chapter 8. First of all, wisdom is audibly pursuing mankind. Verse number 1 says, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice?" Wisdom is not sitting there waiting, saying, "I hope somebody comes and find me." Wisdom is audibly crying out, pursuing mankind. You know, where I grew up, we had tornado sirens. And if there was a storm that was coming, you didn't have to wonder whether or not it was coming. They would sound the alarm. And everybody knew what that meant. And, you know, if you were on a one-story house, that meant make your way to the bathroom, because the bathroom is the most secure part of the houses there. And so you listened for that siren. It has a very distinct sound compared to the sound of an ambulance or a fire truck or a police car. It is much louder. It kind of rotates a little bit. It notifies people within a large area, hey, look, there is something that is coming. Wisdom sounds the alarm and says, look, I'm here if you will pay attention to me. Wisdom is audibly pursuing mankind. The second point is in verse number 2, wisdom is accessible. It says she takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. Wisdom positions itself so that wisdom can be found. In verse number 3 and 4, it says she cries out by the gates at the entry of the gates at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is the sons, or my voice is to the sons of men. And so what I said there was wisdom is seeking an audience. Wisdom is seeking an audience. It's looking for someone, like we talked about yesterday, who will listen to what wisdom has to say. If you ever find a person that will not listen, you are going to find a person who is going to make some foolish mistakes. Now, you need to know who to listen to and who not to listen to. That also comes with wisdom, because not every voice is created equal. The devil's voice does not equal God's voice. God's voice is a voice of authority. The devil's voice is a voice of deception. We need to listen to the word of God. It's eternal truth. We don't need to give the same audience to people who just have a theory. Okay? We need to say, if wisdom is looking for an audience, I want to be on the front row. I want to be on the front row. If wisdom is saying, listen to me, I want to be one of the people that says, I think I'm going to listen to what wisdom has to say. Verse number 6 says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. From the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wicked is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. If you're wanting to write these points down, this would be point number 4. Wisdom is accurate. Wisdom is truth. Wisdom is accurate. And when wisdom speaks, the things that it's going to have to say are going to be things of excellence. I love Daniel, not just because of chapter 1. I love Daniel not because of what he does in chapter 2. I love Daniel because of the reputation that he had that endured even when Nebuchadnezzar had passed from the scene. Because people would tell Belteshazzar, let's see, they would tell the king of Babylon, there's Belshazzar, I think it's Belshazzar was the king, and Daniel was Belteshazzar, looking just right now here to confirm that. Anyway, the king, Daniel was Belteshazzar, the king was Belshazzar, and Belshazzar couldn't read the handwriting on the wall And they said to him, don't panic. You have a king. It's in Daniel chapter 5. You have a man in the kingdom in whom is the spirit of excellence. In whom is the spirit of excellence. So I said an excellent thing in a lack of excellent manner, and I'll try and do better next time. You want to be a person that people know that when you do a job, you're going to do it with excellence. When you serve, you're going to serve with excellence. Too many times we settle for just offering whatever we've got instead of offering to God our very best. So you might hear a lot of people that teach about tithing, and I'm a tither individually. We tithe as a church. But you might hear an inaccurate definition of what tithing is from most definitions. The word tithe means 10%, and you might hear that part. But it's a specific 10%. It's the first 10%. And so when you offer that first 10%, you are offering the very best. You're offering the very best to God because he is worthy of the very best. You and I, we need to offer him our life as early as possible because we want to offer him the excellence of our life. Why would we want to give the devil the prime years of our lives and then just offer the leftovers to God? I mean, I'm thankful for people who come to faith later on in life, but I do need to tell you that the number or the percentage of people that come to faith in Jesus after they turn 18 is very small. If people are going to come to faith in Jesus, it generally happens very early in life, but young people tend to lack focus. So even though they have availability and they got more liquid capital at that age than what they know what to do with most of the time, they tend to squander it because they don't have focus. I know I did. So it wasn't until a person challenged me, a person I will never know their name, was a person I didn't know. It was a person that I was interviewing for a scholarship with, and they asked me a question, and it was like a slap upside of the head and said, what are you doing now to prepare for what you're going to do in the future? And I didn't have an answer, and I didn't get the scholarship, but I got something more valuable than a scholarship. I had somebody with wisdom that spoke into my life something excellent. Wisdom speaks things that will help you to excel. Wisdom speaks things that are of top quality. Wisdom speaks things that are going to endure. The second thing that it talks about that wisdom speaks that is accurate and that is truth is that it speaks things that are right. Okay? It speaks things that are right. So, over the last 4 years, no matter which side of the political spectrum you found yourself on, there were people that were purveying that they were speaking inaccurate information. Okay? When President Trump was in office, there were people who were putting things out there that they were hoping to undermine him with. They were speaking those things as if they were fact, and in fact, they were not factual at all. They were fabricated. And then when that finally became manifest, and I'm not speaking theory here, I'm actually speaking the reality of the situation, you say, well, that's not what I heard. Well, you need to investigate a little bit, because you'll find that there was no evidence to support those things that they were trying to undermine the president with. But when there was a, on the other side of the equation, there was another group that was putting out information that also was not substantiated by fact. And so the one group that had already been proven to have fallen prey to something that wasn't right was concerned about the other group. And I literally posted something on Facebook. It's like, you know, that's how ironic is it that people who've already been deceived are that concerned about people who may be deceived on the other side. Thank you for your concern. Wisdom speaks things that are right. Wisdom speaks things that are true. That's the very next thing. From the opening of my lips will come right things. From my mouth will speak truth. That means that you're not speaking opinion. If you're speaking an opinion, say, look, this is my opinion. But wisdom speaks things that have a solid foundation. They are right. They are true. They are true Sunday. They are true every day of the week. They are true when you are young, and they are true when you are old. Wisdom speaks truth. The fourth thing that you can see is that wisdom does not tolerate wickedness. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Okay, that's in verse number 7 as well. So wisdom is not going to speak things that are spiritually compromised. So you don't have corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. A little later it says, wisdom will not speak anything that is crooked or perverse that is in them. Okay, so there are people who know how to play semantical games. I know, because I used to be one. And I'm not talking about that you do not how you answer questions tactfully. I believe that wisdom knows how to answer questions tactfully. In fact, I will tell you, it took me a long time to learn this, because I'm a people pleaser by nature. And I finally came to the place that I learned this, that just because a person asks a question doesn't mean that they're entitled to an answer. If somebody asks me something that I am not at liberty to discuss, I can't give them that answer. And for some people, that really irritates them, because they want what they want when they want it. I'm not talking about people inside Merit Assembly of God. I'm just talking about people in general. There are people who will, like the serpent in the garden, will twist and contort words so that you believe something that is false is actually true. Wisdom does not manipulate. Wisdom does not seek a selfish gain at the expense of another person. Wisdom does not undermine a relationship with God. Wisdom does not perpetrate a condition of sin. None of wickedness is not found in the mouth of the wise, and nothing perverse or crooked should be found there. What is found in the mouth of wisdom is righteousness, right standing with God. Right standing with God is better than being the most powerful person in a community. Haman was a powerful person in the community, but he was unrighteous, and his downfall was swift. It was quick. It was complete. His rise was quick, and his fall was even quicker. And so wisdom speaks right standing before God. And, you know, two more things here as we're getting down to verse number 9, is wisdom speaks in a manner that everything that wisdom says is plain to him who understands. Okay. Now, in all honesty, that's why I went and reworked this. I wanted to put it in a, because we were talking about so many truths here, I wanted to put it in a manner that you could understand it. You could write it down. So let me review these for you real quick. Wisdom is audibly pursuing mankind, verses 1 and verses 3. Wisdom is accessible. That's in verse 2. Wisdom seeks an audience, someone who will listen to it. That's in verse 4. Wisdom is accurate and true, and that is in verses 6 through 9. So if you write those four things down today, you've got a standard. You've got a measuring device, okay? Am I availing myself of wisdom? Have I answered the call? I know that it's accessible, that it's available to me. Am I going to provide wisdom with the audience it longs for so that it can speak accurate and true principles into my life? Wisdom wants to speak with excellence. When wisdom wants to speak things that are right. Wisdom wants to speak things that are true, that reinforce right standing with God. Wisdom does not perpetrate wickedness. Wisdom does not manipulate through perverse or crooked speech, and wisdom will utilize methods that are plain and easy for those who understand. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a conversation with a person where you knew what you were saying, and you were saying it as simply as you could, but they weren't understanding. You know what wisdom will do? It'll say, how can I communicate this truth in a manner that they will understand? And I hope that's what we do here on the Refresh Radio program. I hope that the Word of God is something that you say, you know what? I do believe I can understand that. When I first came to Florida, there was a nighttime radio host. I couldn't tell you what his name was. And he made this statement. I read the Bible once. I didn't understand it. And so I put it aside and I never looked at it again. Let me tell you, if you want to understand the Word of God, you have to approach it with the spirit of wisdom, because it's spiritual and it's spiritually discerned. Have a great weekend. We'll see you here Monday.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Every step of this race, I have never